Masechet Eruvin Daf Kaf Zayin, and we start at the bottom of Kaf Vav Amud Bet with a new Perek. So we start in the Perek B'chol Ma'arvin U'Mishtatkim. Like I said at the very beginning of the Masechta, that I'm going to give a little short introduction as we go Perek by Perek, because a lot of the Prakimi are very specific to certain subjects. This Perek we're speaking about particularly discussing Tchum Shabbat. Now we know Tchum Shabbat is essentially a person has a Tchum that he can walk. Nothing with carrying, even without carrying, that he can walk on Shabbos from his house 2,000 amas, about 1,000 meters, about a kilometer. That's the tchum. Now, the question is, what is your house? So every person has his own dalet amot. If you live in a house that's on its own in the village and there's no, just in a big field, you got your house. So your whole house is your tchum. So you count 2,000 amas from the end of your house. If you live in a town, like say you live in Rano or in Shoam or in Tel Mon, whatever the case is, so your whole town is your tchum. You can walk inside and outside as much as you like around your town, no limits. When you leave the borders of the town, it's the municipal border of the town, now your tchum starts. If you're in a desert and you haven't got even a house around you, then your tchum is just the dalet amot around. You can walk the whole day within 2 square meters, much as you like, but out of that you can't even walk. Now, there are two ways to make a tchum on Shabbos. Either you can, Erev Shabbos, arrive in a particular place and stop and say, okay, now I'm waiting my watch. Now Shabbos comes in, it's at 7:07. At 7 o'clock, you arrive there, you settle down, you wait there. At 7:07, you're there. At 7:10, you're there, you walk home. And then you akone your makom. That becomes your place for Shabbos. Right? Now, obviously, you can walk home, provided that your home is less than 2,000 amas away. Because you can't walk out of that tchum, right? So you can't, by definition, you can't make a tchum further than 2,000 amas from your house. Otherwise, you can't get there. Because if your house, if you made a tchum on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, so that place where you made your tchum, your Eruv, essentially becomes de facto your home. Now, when you walked home to where your house is, that's your home. Now, we went to your house. If your house is more than 2,000 amas from there, you aren't allowed to walk anymore. You're stuck. So you can't get back to your tchum. With me? Get that, someone? Right now, more than that, if you make a tchum, let's say that you're going north, you make a tchum 2,000 amas north of the northern border of your town, right? You can't go south of your town, right? You understand? Because you've already essentially 2,000 amas from your tchum, so you can't go south of your town at all. You can only go in the northern direction. Can't go anywhere in the southern direction. That's the one way of making it. The other way of making a tchum is to actually come Erev Shabbos and put down food good enough for 2 meals. Okay? And that's the most of our parak discusses that. How you make this tchum. Okay, so let's start the Mishnah. The Mishnah is like this. And just like you make an Eruv tchumin, you also make an Eruv for, you remember we had a Shituf Mavot. Shituf Mavot. We had to say when you had a Mavoi, you wanted to join in as well and make a Shituf for the Mavoi. So it's a very similar idea. So the Mishnah discusses them both. Bechol Ma'arvinu Mishtatvin. You can use any food. It has to be food, though. Rashi will tell you, via Eruv Chatzerot v'tchumin, right? Or Mishtatfin, so Rashi v'mavoy. Or you can use any type of food for that. Chutz, right? And also, Hakol Nikach v'kesev maser. And with maser sheini money, you also have to buy food. The Pasuk says specifically that you have to buy food. So you can redeem the money, the food that you've got, your maser, onto money. Take it back to Jerusalem, and then you can buy food in Jerusalem. It has to be food. You can't, like, pay for hotels or for travel or petrol or anything like that. Right? Chutz min ha-mayim min ha-melach. You can't use mayim, water or melach, water or salt, for an Eruv, and you can't buy with maaseh sheini money, water or salt. That's what the Mishnah says. Ha-noder min ha-mazon. Now, if you make a neder from food, I won't have any food, then you mutar b'mayim or melach. The Mishnah Shaf changed the order around. Then you can have water, so I'm not considered food. Now, interesting. We have to have food or right, which is edible. The question is, it has to be edible for me or just edible for anyone? Let's say that a person's a celiac, right? Not a celiac. Celiac's a person who doesn't bleed, right? Let's say a person that can't eat, what's it called? The guys can't eat like gluten and that. What's the word for it? I'll slip my mind now. So a person can't eat gluten stuff. So can he?
Gluten's
enteropathy. No. So there's a word for it. They're called people that they like. They have like a gluten. Yeah. Can they make an
intolerant?
Yeah, but there's a word for it. Can they make a eruv on Shabbos with bread, for bread? Because they can't eat the bread. But I can eat the bread, or you can eat
bread
the
bread without gluten.
No, I'm talking about bread with gluten. There's no such thing as bread without gluten. Gluten-free bread is not bread. No, potato flour is not bread. It's not a lachikli bread. It's kosemet, not kusmin, the other way around. It's not one of the five grains. All the five grains you can make bread out of has gluten in it. Right? To the best of my knowledge. So a gluten-free bread you don't fast for, you make a shakel. Right? So I'm saying, let's say that you want to have bread now. You want to make an Erev out of bread, and the guy can't eat gluten. Can he make, like a Nazir? Nazir can't drink wine. Can you make wine in Erev? A Kohen can eat Truma. Yisrael can't eat Truma. Can Yisrael use Truma to make his Erev? So someone's nodding his head, saying no. Let's look at the Mishnah. Right? Hanod Arvin le Nazir b'yayin. You can make a Nazir with a wine. Well, Yisrael but Truma, you can use Truma for a Yisrael. Okay? Why? Look at Rashi.
Doesn't mean they have to eat it?
No, but still, Afagav de la, look what he says, look at Rashi, look at the very last word before it gets very loud. What? Afagav de lo chazi de didei, since it's, even though he himself can't eat it, chazi la achrinei, it's good for others. The chevan de mezonahu, since it's considered food, gabi achrinei, sharulei, Rabbanavana said, yes, no problem. In other words, we want something which is defined as food, not necessarily defined for you as food, but defined as food. However, Sumchu says no. Sumchus with regards to a Kohen and Truma says, Bechulin, only Bechulin, you can't use Truma for a. See, Sumchus doesn't agree with that. And now, you are Lokoim Beit HaPras, you can make an Eruv for a Tchumin for a Kohen in a Beit HaPras. A Beit HaPras is like one of these areas where we're scared, right? That it might have been plowed up and there could be dead bodies there, and there could be bones there, or whatever. And a Kohen can't go into that area, it might kick the bone. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Afilu Beit HaKfar. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even in a cemetery, you can do it, right? Now, how can you in the cemetery? Look at Rashi, look at the pras. Stami v'lav sumchus ka'amarev, not sumchus, right? Me'enichin eruv l'koy me'rapras, afagat v'inu l'matzi l'meiz l'mishkar l'mecha, even though a person has failed to go there, take it and eat it. You're going to have to eat your eruv on Shabbos. How can a Kohen go into the cemetery, eat his eruv on Shabbos? Or go to the spera pras? How can he cover this place there? One says, no, the Sveik Rabbanu Muta Likes in your poch. It's a fake Rabbanu, it's better price. And he can go with a big, like one of those puffers, you know, like a that you use for a fire, you know, because you're going to stoke the fire, those like puffers. You can puff the sand or the blower, and you can blow your way clear there, and therefore you can get in. He says, even with a better, in a cemetery, how are we going to get a cemetery? With a migdal or a shida or a tave, they can go in a box or a wheelbarrow and they can put him in there and the box is surrounded by all sides. He's not the kabel tuma and he can get there. Bottom line, we pretty make it about it. The gross luckers. Now, it sounds like we're going to sidetrack, but you'll see right at the end we're going to get back to what we said. Remember we said in our Mishnah that you can use anything for Eruv and you can buy anything with Master Shari money except water and salt. Okay, except water and salt. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is like a Sahari David, Shavuot Tov. We actually started off early with a bit of a chazor on yesterday. So we just started the Mishnah. Just finished the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ein lemidi min haklalot. Rabbi Yochanan says quite a cynical rule, I'd say. You can't learn from rules. Right? What does it mean you can't learn from rules? Rashi says, kol echad itnan klal, whatever you see in the Mishnah or brighter, it says klal, a rule. Lo aminan dafku. Don't say that it's only this is the rule. The Lord dak b'milta, because there are things that they aren't so particular about, and there could be that's a very generalization sort of statement. We committed the natu b'hau klal, the things that came ahead of time in the kama. Right. So more than that, afilu makom shtemar bochutz. Even if they say this is the klal chutz me, then look at Rashi Aviyah. Why is that a problem? He says mid chutz me d'ra ploni. The ikka the meimar mid afke lahai vaday dak b'klale. Because he says, you might think that since they excluded one or two things from it, they were very particular about the rule. And therefore, the rule is a rule. Even so, it makes no difference. Why? Don't learn from that. To deal because they might have excluded some things, but not everything. So we don't learn from klalim. As a rule, we don't like klalim. We don't know details. And now the Gemara starts challenging this whole story. Right, he says, "Milik Amar Afilu Makom Shemar Bochutz Michal Dlavachik Dlavachikai." The words of Rabbi now, the very fact that that Rabbi Yochanan said, right, Afilu Makom Shemar Bochutz, right, that uses the, even if it uses the word chutz, so it appears that he's not talking about our Mishnah. Now, this Gemara, not on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah does use the word chutz, by the way. It took a while to understand it. Right, this is a Gemara. Look at this is a Gemara which we'll see later on Daf Kaf Tet. Right, on Monday. Right, we'll see it on Monday. And there we're going to quote Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara discussed that. But it appears that it's like this. It's talking about there. What's there? The Mishnah Shah still says there there it's a Gemara in Kiddushin. Kol mitzvah aser shazman grama. Whatever we say, all time-bound mitzvahs, anashim chayvim, anashim torah, men chayvim, mur patur. Mishlo hazman grama, echad anashim, echad anashim chayvim. It's not time-bound, they're all chayvim. Is that right? The klalu, is that a klal? The whole mitzvah aser shazman grama, anashim, is it a fact that every single time-bound mitzvah, positive mitzvah, mur patur? It's not true. Are matzah, simcha v'akel, mur chayvim, matzah, simcha v'akel, they got to go to the Beit HaMikdash on Sukkos of Shemitah year, right? The mitzvah aser shazman gram, uven hashim chavur, they got to go. So we see it's not a cloud. There are mitzvot aser shazman gram, the uven hachayvin. Now the other way around, v'chol mitzvot aser shelo hazman gram, anashim chayavot, and all women chayvin, all mitzvot aser that are not town bound. I remember there's Talmud Torah, Priyur Via, Pijon Ben. These are all town bound, and they are not time bound, so it's Shlozman grammar, they're not time bound. Even though Pidyon HaBen normally should take place after 30 days. But if you haven't done, you can do it forever. It's not like a lulav, right? Lulav has to be done only on Sukkos. Pidyon HaBen, the Vilna Gaon was very much, but he was a Bechor. And so I was told, I heard this about the Vilna Gaon, that every single, wait, was Chofetz Chaim? You know what, I actually think I'm wrong, it was Chofetz Chaim. That every Kohen who came to his town, Israel, Meir, Chofetz Chaim, he wasn't a Kohen, eh?
He was a Kohen.
So it's a Vilna Gaon. It's a Vilna Gaon. Mm-hmm. It's a Vilna Gaon. That every Kohen, that's right, Chofetz Chaim himself was a Kohen. That every Kohen that came to town, he would ask him to do Pidyon HaBen on him in case the previous Kohanim weren't proper Kohanim. That's how seriously he took Pidyon HaBen. So the Pidyon HaBen you can do forever, right? Even though the Gemara says, yes, that's not time bound. So we see there's no real klal over here. In mitzvah shel asay hazman grama, woman achayev, Pesach, Hakel, Simcha. In mitzvah shel lo hazman grama, pidyon haben, priyurvia, Torah, woman achayev. Ela amar Rabbi Yochanan, ein lemidin min haklalot. Makes no difference. We don't have klalot. Va'afilu makom shnevo b'chutz. Even it says b'chutz. Now Abaya throws in his examples as well. Amr Abaya, Vitam Rabbi Yirmi, Afanamitri. We also learn that. Od klal echad amru. Here he's speaking about a Gorma over here in Masechet Zavi. We say over here, Od klal echad amru. What's a klal? Kol she nisal gabay hazav tamei, v'kol she hazav nisal alav tahor. Chut v'na rui l'mishka v'moshav. Now we know that a zav is different to what else. A zav is metame v'mishka v'moshav. Right? Right? What's mishka v'moshav? That if there's a chair, something unique for him to sit on, or a bed that you lie on, or shoes that he's wearing, anytime he sits in a way that should be sat, or stands, or wears shoes, or clothes like that, and he's put his weight on it, he causes tuma. He's metamesa, even if he doesn't touch it. So he's wearing socks, he's not touching his shoes, the shoes become tame. If he's sitting on 30 mattresses, even the bottom or out of the bottom, becomes tame. Right? That's a zav. So what's that? Yeah, the cloud is, right? The kol shazav instead of to chutz min ha-ra'u l'mishka v'mosha. Everything else that he would sit on, if he doesn't touch it, wouldn't become tamei, unless it was in its normal course of events meant to be sat on. The Gemara Hadam, or person. The person carries him in the Gemara of a two leka. There are other examples, other exceptions. Vahika Merkav, right? There's Merkav as well, that if he's riding something, he's on a saddle, he's also would tamei. So why do you say only two things that he causes tuma on is Mishkav and Moshav? There's Merkav as well, riding. The Gemara says, well, hi Merkav, what is Merkav? He says, "Ida yativa leihan." If he's sitting on the saddle, that's moshav, right? So we're explaining this. Ani yach. This is what we're talking about. Ha ike gabe de ukfa. What's gabe de ukfa, right? Gabe de ukfa is like the pole on the saddle. The Tanya, the Gemara is a brighter over here, and this is a Gemara Tosefti Masechet Kedim. Ha ukaf, right? The saddle tamei moshav is tamei moshav. So that's one of the examples we said mishkav and moshav sitting, but the tafus is tamei merkav. What's a tafus? Look at Rashi. I'll skip all the Rashi's down here. Look at the Rashi, the second wide lines at the bottom. Tafus. The ukaf artson belaz. A saddle is an artson. שכשהרוכב תופס באותו עץ שנקרא ארצות. Now you know these western saddles, they've got a leather saddle, and in the front and the back got these like wooden mounds that stick out, right? And the guy holds onto them when he's riding. That's called your tofes. That, you aren't really sitting on it, but it's part of the saddle. The saddle, you metame if you're a zav because of moshav. But that tofes, you metame with merkav. So he proves over here, Abaya, that there is another exception. You can't rely on klalim, right? That is Abaya's contribution. Ravina says as well. Now here comes Ravina. This ties in now with our Mishnah. Ravina. We also learn you can't rely on klalim. Where from? In the Mishnah we learned a few minutes ago. B'chol ma'arvin u'mishtatvin. You can use any type of food to make an eruv or to make a shituf mevo'ot with. Chutz min ha'mayim v'hamelach. When it says the two lake, and are there no other exceptions? Are you sure you can use everything? Vahaika kemihin or pitriot. What about truffles and mushrooms? That if you remember, David, when I was in Italy a couple of years ago, I gave the shir from there, and I said how I'd seen in a market on around the lakes there that there were like these truffles for like untold sums of money. Remember?
So, yeah, you said like 1,000 euros.
Yeah, like 1,000 euro for a truffle. Absolutely ridiculous. So I'm saying, even though they're 1,000 euro truffles,
more expensive than cherries,
right? You still can't use it for an eruv. So I said today in the shir something, maybe it's God's way of looking after the idiots that might go and use a truffle to stick it out in an eruv and it gets eaten by the bees or something, right? So you can't. But yeah, so we see that there are other examples, right? El Shma Mina says Ravina or Rav Nachman, ein lemidi mina klalot. Okay, now we go. That was a last bit of a side dress over there. Now we get into our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah said, "Akol nikach bekesed maase." So we spoke in the Mishnah. We said that maase shein. You can, when you go to Jerusalem and you're going to buy stuff at the shuk, you can buy anything with maase sheini money, except for salt and water. Now you know that salt is not really a food, right? Salt, I think, the only mineral that we actually eat. It's a mineral salt. It's not a food.
There's no bracha on salt, right? We don't say bracha on salt.
We don't say a bracha on salt. If you eat salt on its own, I don't think you make a bracha, but usually we use salt in a bracha of a motzi. But I agree with you. I don't think that you make a bracha, although we do make a bracha on water. Right, make a bracha on water. If you would eat salt just on its own, I happen to have a son like that, you need help. he thinks it's quite normal, but I'm okay. I call nikach bekesed. Now, so Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Baruch Hanina. This is a machlok between the two of them. Chad matni a'eruv, v'chad matni a'mase. One says that what they're going to tell you in a second now is specifically to eruvin, and the one says, no, it is with regards to ma'aser sheini. Now the Gemara says like this. Chad matni, look at Rashi over here. Chad matni, hai lo shanu dekaman lekaman, mayim rat, mayim ben v'melach, ha'mu'ravin mazon hay netabel ben pito. It seems that there's a difference between salt and water on their own. But you can't use salt and water. But what about when you make salt water? The salt water now suddenly becomes something chashuv. And maybe you can buy salt water with maaser sheini money. Maybe you can use salt water to make an eruv. That's the question. Right? B'chad matni amaser. B'chad matni eruv loshna elamai b'fnei atzmo melech b'fnei atzmo. When did the Mishnah say it's asur, you can't do things with regards to an eruv, if it's water or salt on their own? Why the ain ma'arvin? You can't make an eruv. Ma'ayu melech ma'arvin, but if it's ma'ayim v'melech, if it's a mixture, you can use an eruv. You make it for an eruv. The chad matni amas. The one says no. Specifically, you're going to maaser sheini money. Lo shanu ma'ayim bifnei atzmo melech v'atzman. Then ain nikachin. You can't take them by them when they own maaser sheini money. However, ma'ayim v'melech nikachin bekesu ma'arvin. If a guy's selling a salt water mix, that you can use maaser sheini money for to buy the maaser sheini money. Now, the most interesting thing, Manda Matni Amaser, the one who says that specifically you're talking about Maser, so Kol Shekein Eruv, he would definitely say if you can buy salt water with Maser Sheini money, which has got Kedusha, you can definitely make an Eruv with Maser Sheini money. And Manda Matni Eruv, the one who says, no, it's just a question, you can make an Eruv with salt water, right? He would say with salt water you can make an Eruv. About a maaser law, but you can't buy salt water with maaser sheini money. We can understand why, because it's eruv is less chamur than a maaser sheini money. Maaser money is doraita, this is the rabbanan, and it's kedusha, etc. So the Gemara says, what's the reason? My time, it says, because pira ve'inan, we need pira. Look at Rashi. We'll see. He says Rashi on Amud Bet. We'll see what it talks about. From a Meklalu, we live from a Meklalu Prat. Haladi of Pira. Pira means fruits. That it was a fruit, right? It didn't just happen out of nothing. Like a mineral, salt is definitely not a fruit. Okay, and water also doesn't grow. Water doesn't grow from anything, right? So those are the things causing it. It's exception. The question: why not mushrooms and truffles? They grow from the air, not from the ground. We'll see just now later on. We need gidulei karka as well. I was like this. Kiatra Rav Yitzchak, when Rav Yitzchak came to Israel, so he said matni al maser. He said specifically with regards to maser. Now we learn if it's in regards to maser, then eruv as well. So it appears over here from this opinion of Rav Yitzchak that you can use salt water for maser, and you can use salt water for an eruv. Okay, so Gemara's got a kash on that. Maitrei heid Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish lifnei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish came to Rabbi Eliezer and said like this: Shabbat Abe, my father's house, and I remember at home as a young boy. They would use maser shiny money and buy gravy with it, tzir, which is essentially salt water. What is tzir? Right, like brine or something like that. So Amarlo, so he said to him, he said, no, you got it wrong, my son. Shemelo shamat, maybe you never heard properly. When did they say that they would use brine for maser shiny? They would buy maser shiny, with maser shiny money, this, where they had like a bit of pieces of fish inside it. So you could buy, like, you know, today you buy sardines in some sort of oil. And they bought fish in a brine, in a salt water mix. Then you could, I think even today you can get tuna in salt water, right? You get tuna in water, I think you get tuna in salt water. So yeah. Same idea, you'd buy the pieces of fish in salt water. That you could take a tuna with maser shiny money. And we didn't say that because you got salt water in it, you got to break it up and say 95% is tuna. And that I'm buying with maser shiny money, and the 5% of the price is salt water that I'm going to pay with regular money. No, buy it, and that's all fine. That's what Rav Eliezer corrects him. Right? The Gemara says now, "Afir Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish lo kamar ele betzir deshumna." And even Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish himself, he was speaking there about this gravy had a bit of oil in it. Even he acknowledged there was a bit of oil in it, and it wasn't just stump salt water. Now, just very important for the rest of the daf on the other bit. We see Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish have got a machloket about whether you can use salt water or not. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish seems to think you can use even oil, let's say, with a bit of salt water. And Rabbi Eliezer says not only when there's fish inside it, but they both agreed you can use fish, right? That you can buy fish with maaseh sheini money, correct? Both of them agree fish. We're going to see over the Amud, a klalu prat in a ribuy mi'ut, whether you can use fish, whether you can buy fish or not. Does fish fall into that category? Or do we say only animals that grew on the ground, they're from Gidulei Karka, that are Pire Mipire, etc. Fish might be excluded. And yeah, that's we carry on now. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says as follows. He says, Lo Netzricha. So now, when we're having this Bachot Rav Yad, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, so says Rav Yosef, Lo Netzricha, El Eshe Yitchenata Netochan Shemen. Right? And that's what he speaks about. What we speak about here, if you've got a bit of oil in the salt water, then you can buy the oil for maser, with maser shiny money. Without the oil, you can't buy salt water with maser shiny waters. Now, Abaya says, I'm going to Abaya, but Tabut Nebi Shum Shemen. I don't understand. If you want to tell me the din in Shemen, then tell me the din in Shemen. Why tell me the din in salt water? Salt water with Shemen. But what's going on over here? Tell me Shemen. Rabbi Tabut Nebi Shemen. The said, no. Lot Shecha. Why is it important to mention the shemen and the salt water together? It says, Lo Nitzricha, look at Rashi, Hada Matri Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak came along and said, right, that it's for Maser Sheini, right? Mayu Melach Amuravin Nikachin, you can buy salt and water mixed together with Maser Sheini money. Elek Shinatanakot Hashemen. Why was that important? Bahavla'ah. He said, Tanu Melach Bahavla'ah. What does it mean, Havla'ah? Havla'ah means, like an example I gave previously with the tuna and the water. So now let's say that the water makes up 5% of the tin and it costs 100 shekels for the tin of tuna fish, right? So 95 shekels goes in the tuna and 5 shekels goes on the oil, on the water, on the salt water in the tuna tin. Now, am I allowed to buy the salt water with maaseh sheini money? So what do I say to the salesman? I say, listen, don't charge me for the 95 for the tuna and 105 for the salt water. Just charge me 100 for the tuna. And give me the water for free. All right? Which is really what we do today. When you buy the tuna, you're not buying the salt water, you're buying the tuna. And if you look at the tin, it even tells you what the tuna content is strained. So you know exactly what you're buying. If the tin weighs 150 grams, you know that it's 120 grams or 130 grams strained. So you know you're buying 130 grams tuna and you're buying 20 grams of salt water. So he comes up to the seller and says, I'm going to pay you 100 shekels just for the tuna and give me the salt water for free. That's called my brother. The Rebbe Chanan explains it very nicely. He says exactly that. He says, Perush, Shaveh Hashem and Nevadu Chatzi Issa, the Hashem and Ari is worth one half Issa, but Amalei Hareni Koneh Metzlacha Hashem and Nevadu Issa. I'm buying the whole Issa from Hashem and give the whole Issa. V'amayim v'amelach b'chino, I'm getting it for free. That's Rebbe Chanan, exactly word for what I just said. Okay. So that is what Rav Yosef answers to Abaya. Now, the Gemara says, "Uvavlam Ishari, and can you really do this? Are you allowed to gross up the cost of the food for Maaseh Shari money, and along the way pick up some stuff for free? It's a bit of a fraud, isn't it?" So he says, "Yes, no problem." He says, "Va'atanya, we got a brighter which Ben Bagbag taught the brighter. What's the brighter? What's the pasuk? The whole pasuk is like this: V'natata kesef b'chol asher tava nafshecha, and you can use the money whatever your heart desires. That's a klal or a ribui, a general term." V'babakar uvatzon uvayayin uvashechar uvachorat, on you to buy with it cattle or sheep or wine or beer. And then again it says, and that's a prat or a miut, that's a limiting factor. The pasuk says again, uvachol asher ishachar nafshachar, whatever your heart should desire, v'achal tesher l'asher l'kecha v'samach tatar v'etech, and you will rejoice. So we've got a klal prat to klal, or ribui miur ribui. Right, we're going to get there in a second. In the meantime, Ben Bagbag says, of course you can do Havla'ah. How come? He says like this. The pasuk says, Babakar, why dafka babakar? Melamed, shelokin bakar, al-gavoro, you can buy the cattle with its skin. So you can't, skin is inedible. Right? You're going to use the skin, you're going to flay the animal, take the skin, it makes up a nice carpet. You can use it for Maaseh Shani, man, you buy some a nice carpet. Of course you can't. He says, no, because the pasuk says bakar, so it means you can buy bakar with skin. And what about tzon? It says there, bakaru tzon. Tzon melamed shlochino tzon agav geizata. You can take it with all its wool. You can use the wool now. You're going to spin the wool and make a nice jersey or a sweater. That's not Maaseh Shani money. It says, no problem. It says sheep as well. Then it says yayin. Right? Yayin. And now what about wine? Melamed shlochino yayin agav kankanu. You can buy it with the barrel. Now, a barrel can be pretty expensive, right? You can't buy a barrel of wine. The barrel might be more expensive than the wine. So there's no problem. You can buy the barrel as well with Maaseh Shani money. Uba Sheikhar, now this type of beer. Melamed shlokhin temed mishaykh mitz. Temed, yeah, it's like not really. It's like when you got water and you put it like on the dregs of the grapes in the process, and it gets a bit of flavor in it. What's machmitz, how do you say? Grapes ferment. Ferments a bit, right? So that's also, you can buy that. So also with Maaseh Shani money. Right, so that is the proof that Ben Bagbag brings to show that you can do Havla'ah, and we're very happy. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan. He says like this, says Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, man de mitargem libe bakar alibe de Ben Bagbag. Anybody who's able to explain to me, look at Rashi there. I skipped it. Man de mitargem bakar. It's in line with the Torah or with the Pasuk there. Right, it's about 3, 6, 9... About 14 lines down from the Gemara on the Rashi side. Man de metargem bakar, de itzrich le michtevei. They said it was necessary to be written in the Pasuk. Alibe de ben bagbag, for the purpose of Ben Bagbag's telling us, to teach me that I can use this by the skin as well as the meat. Right? Person who come and teach and explain to me that that's the purpose why bakar is written in the Pasuk. Like Ben Bagbag told me I needed the skin as well. Look what I'll do for him. Right? He says, I lost my place. Movilna Mane Abatra, I'll carry his clothes after him, Abatra, and obey him through the bathhouse. I'll become his servant. If you can find me someone who can explain to me that that's why the word Bakar is written in the Pasuk, to teach me needing his skin. Now listen to this. It gets a little bit tricky, but not so hard. It says like this, and this is now Rabbi Akiva's proof. He says, my time, and watch Rabbi Akiva's story. Why? Says kulu hu tshichin ba'me bakar. He says every other word in that pasuk was needed except for the word bakar. We never needed bakar. We never needed to learn the word bakar. We could have learned everything else without the word bakar. So that Ben Bagbag, the reason we need bakar is because of Havla'ah. Ah, he doesn't buy it, Rabbi Akiva. Right? He says, but the Lord Shariq, he says, my tshichi, what do we, what, so what? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan, sorry, Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry, Rabbi Yochanan, thank you. Rabbi Yochanan. Right? He says, my tshichi. Right, so what's going on over here? Right, So he says, my trichi, what do we really need, Aviyah? He says, the ikatav rachman bebakar, if the pasuk had just written bakar, hava mina bakar hu demizdaben al gav oro, I would have assumed, like ben bagbag actually, that why is it telling me bakar in the pasuk? To tell that I can buy the bakar even with its skin, al gav oro, right? Rashi says, "Amechubar lebasar ve'en liachol lehavshito mechayim." You can't take the water to live. Mishum de gufa, because part of his body. Aval tzon agav gizata, the lo gufehu emelo. But the sheep's wool, I would have said that's not part of his body. You can shear the sheep's wool. Therefore, that you can't pay with from proceeds of master shani money. Ve'ikata rachmana betzon. So therefore, that's why I wrote tzon, right? Understand? That's why I wrote tzon. Ve'ikata rachmana betzon. If I just wrote tzon. Right? Even Rahmana Batson, Agav Gizata, right, it tells us you can use the wool. Haba Amina, why? Mishun de Mechubarba. Because the wool at the end of the day is attached to its body. Aval Yayin, Agave Kankano. But the wine in its barrel, when it's decanter, I would say no, you can't buy, you can't pay from price of Masha any money for the barrel. Right? So that's why the Torah you write, Yayin. Tell us that you can. Vikata Rahmana Bayayin, the Torah just written Yayin. I would have said, have a minimum mishum da hainu neturete. Why is it written wine? Because wine is telling you that wine needs to be guarded by its barrel. So therefore, I can't buy the barrel. Aval temed mishihichmitz. But this water which was poured on the dregs of the grapes and became a bit fermented, the kiyuwa ba'amahu, it's just stum like a bit of a fragrance. It's got no real, it's not real food. Eim elo, therefore katav rachman ha-shechar. Not only wine, even shachar, and all blends and all types of alcoholic stuff, however it's made, I can do that. Now, Rabbi Yochanan learns the pasuk the other way around. Now we go backwards. Vi katam achmana b'shachar, if a judge was in shachar, what would I have said? Havamina, my shachar, devena keilot tepiru. I would have said, shachar is made from these very good figs from keila, right? Which is a fruit at the end of the day. It's food. So therefore, you could food. Aval yayin, agab kan kano. But wine with its barrel, you definitely can't buy the barrel. Therefore, I'd say, look, that's why I drove wine. Vikata rachmana yayin al gav kankano. If I drove wine, I'd say that you can use wine, you can buy even the barrel, the hainu nitrate, because it's for guarding its purposes. About tzon al gav gizata. But how can you think in your wildest dreams you can use master shani money to buy sheep's wool? That's not guarding, it's not doing any purpose. Would have said, no. Therefore, kata rachmana tzon, dafilu al gav gizata. So now, Rabbi Yochanan has gone all the way back and around, and now we get to Bakar. Now let's ask ourselves the question, what is going on with Bakar? Maybe try to prove that we don't actually need Bakar in the Pasuk to argue on Ben Bagbag. It's like this, but Bakar Lamali, why has the Pasuk got Bakar there? What am I learning from Bakar? He says like this, Vechita, let's say maybe Vechita, I always say, is a postulated answer, which is not the real answer. Right, so Vechita, maybe you're going to tell me, Ilo Katav Rachman Bakar, if the Torah hadn't written there the word Bakar, Hava Minatzon Agav Oro in Agav Gizatalo, I would have said, what is written there? Just tzon. Now the pasuk started and it said, "Shetaba nafshecha betzon uveyayin nafshecha uvechol hashet." Not using the word bakar, we would have said, "What's more important to learn from here? The sheep with its skin or the sheep with its wool?" Obviously, the sheep with its skin, right? Because while it's alive, you can't separate the skin. While it's alive, you can't separate the wool. So we would have assumed the pasuk didn't leave mention bakar. It said sheep. Why did it say sheep? To tell us its skin, not its wool. Right? I mean, it's son agav orain, agav gizatalo. Therefore, katav rachmana babakar. So now we understand why the Torah had to write babakar. La tuye oro. Because now we've got a makor to learn oro from bakar. Ayatar le tzon la tuye gizata. And now what do we learn? Now we know that we've got bakar to teach us skin. So therefore, the sheep, why is the sheep there? Where he learned skin. So the sheep is there to teach us what? It's wool. Right. Okay, now up until now, everything seems beautiful. So now, says Rabbi Yochanan, but wait a second, we can bounce that hypothesis out the window. Why? If it hadn't written there bakar, lo have amin etzon agav ora in agav gizata lo. I wouldn't have lo have amin etzon agave ora agave gizata lo. Hold on a second. I'm trying to suddenly. Says like this, hold on a second, it's in Russia over here. Yeah? And I think he says like this. He says like this. Now, I lo katarachmana bakar. Lo hava minat son agav ora ina bagazar. I wouldn't have thought that. That's not the right assumption I would have made. I would have assumed that you can still use sheep to learn from it skin and wool. Why? Because what would I have said to myself? The im ken, because if that is the case, right, the im ken, look at Russian, the im ken, the tzon lav le mishre gizot hu da ata. Ela or, if sheep is only teaching me about skin and not about wool as well, right? Lo ave ketiv kra tzon ila bakar, the late lay gizot, then on the contrary, if I was looking to learn skin and not to learn wool, the Torah should have written rather bakar and not tzon. In other words, if the whole purpose, the Torah left out, he says, if I never had the word bakar, so then what did I conclude a few seconds ago? I would have said, if there wasn't bakar and just so, what would I have learned? I would have learned skin from tzon. And then I wouldn't, and not wool. That's what the Torah wrote bakar. He said, wait a second. Let's assume that the Torah only wrote sheep now, never wrote tzon, and never wrote bakar. Would I really conclude that it's only skin and not the wool? Because wouldn't I say to myself like this, wait a second. If the Torah wanted to teach me only about skin, not about wool, it should rather have written what? Bakar.
Yes, bakar.
Exactly. So why did it write there sheep? To teach me not only skin, also wool. So now what has Rabbi Yochanan proven? That I don't need the word bakar to teach me skin. Because even without bakar being there, the fact that sheep is there and not bakar is there is to teach me from sheep both skin and wool. So what do I need sheep? What do I need bakar for? So I don't need bakar. Rabbi Yochanan's whole word. He said there's no real reason for bakar. Bakar is completely redundant. We don't need bakar. So Ben Bagbag, his whole limud was why is bakar written there to teach me about havla'a on skin? Rabbi Yochanan says I don't need the word bakar to teach me anything. I don't know anything from bakar. Look at Rashi. Look at Gemara. The kind of tzon, the afilu agave gizata, but bakar lamali. Hash the tzon agave gizata misdavna. Bakar agav oromi. Buy it. Once I already learned that I can buy sheep's wool, do I need bakar to teach me that I can buy sheep skin? Obviously, bakar, obviously not. Hare Rabbi Yochanan, man de metaglu bakar, ibn bin bagbag. Movilna mane lebei masuta. Yochanan proved that Bagbag can't prove from there about havla from bakar. We don't need havla, we don't need bakar. We learn nothing from bakar. So therefore, he's pretty happy. He didn't have to worry about carrying Ben Bagbag's clothes, anybody else's clothes to the bother. Okay, now the end of the other Gemara ends off like this. We said over here the Gemara says the mai kamifle Rabbi Huda ben Gadish Rabbi Nezer v'hane tenai de la kama. We saw on the previous Amud, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Elazar, they argued about gravy with or without a bit of fish inside it, right? Where Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish said if it's got oil in it, it's fine. And Rabbi Elazar said as long as it's got a bit of fish parts in it, it's fine. However, both of them agreed that fish, as we spoke about, was a perfectly good food to buy with Maaseh Sheni money. Agreed? Everybody happy with that? The question was, can you also buy fish oil without the fish? Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish said yes, and Rabbi Elazar said no, but they would both agree fish. Now, there seems to be these Tanayim. What's the but Mike, what is the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Elazar on the one hand, Bahani Tanai on the other hand, right, that they seem to imply that you can't even use fish. Look at Rashi there. But Mike, Miflegay, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, the Amrina Tarvayu, Dagim, Nikri, both of them agree that you can take fish, you can buy fish. But they're arguing about the gravy. Vahane Tanai and these other Tanaim de la Kama later on, the Darshe Pri, they learn Pri, has to be fruit. Mi Pri Vagidle Karka, has to be from the grain of the ground, right? Vlad Vlado Taaretz, you need a Vlad from the land. Vatarvayu Memate Dagim, Vakosha Kensi, that's you definitely can't use fish because they're not part of Gidle Karka, and you certainly can't use Tzir, only the the gravy. So that's the Gemara says, what is the machloket? What are they doing? What is the real machloket? The Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Eliezer, Darshei Ribui Umiut. They all use the same pasuk. Just Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer, on there, when they say you can use fish, they say there's a Ribui and a Miut here in this pasuk. Vahane Tanai and these other Tanai, who argue with them, Darshei Klale Uprat. They learn Klal Uprat. So we see how that works. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Eliezer, Darshei Ribui Umiut. We saw the pasuk already. Whatever you want, use the money for it. If you want, that's a Ribui, Riba. The fourth are miyuts, are limitations. And now we go back, whatever you want is chazar b'riba. Now the klal works like this. Riba u'mi'et v'riba. When we have a ribui, miyut, ribui, really, you marbe hakol. Right? Everything's included except a couple of very specific things that are m'ma'et. So my rabbi ko mili, u'mai mi'et, what do they limit? Rabbi Eliezer miyat sir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish miyat mayim v'melach. Quite simple. They all agree on ribui miyut. They all agree ribui everything includes fish. And what's the miyut? That was the machloket we had in the previous amud. Rabbi Yehuda says that he excludes, right? That you can't water and salt. That's got a bit of oil in it, okay? And Rabbi Eliezer says that he says has to. So he excludes gravy. Even with water and salt in it, even with a bit of oil in it, it has to have a bit of fish in it. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish excludes water and salt, as long as a bit of oil in it is fine. Now, Bahane Tanai, that's how they get to their limud, and that's why they include fish. Bahane Tanai, Darshei Klalei Uprate, they've got a separate limud over here, which is a Klal Uprat. Then we saw Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael also have the same machloket, right? The one learns Klal Uprat, the one learns the Ribui Miut, it's common. The Tanya v'natata, kes b'chol she'et tova nafshecha, that's the same pasuk, all the generalization, that's a klal. Baba karu v'atzonu v'yayin v'shechar, that's a prat. What? What klal?
Sorry, I was talking to somebody.
Okay. Prat, v'chol she'et tishcha nafshecha, chazav v'klal, that's a klal. So we've got again, klal u'prat u'klal, yatadan, you got a prat. Now we've got the same idea of klal u'prat u'klal, yatadan ele ka'ena prat. Here it becomes more limiting now. Now even what you include has to also fit in with the prat. So you can include everything as long as it has got characteristics of the prat as well. So my prat befurash, what is the prat? Pri mi pri, right? So we've got the bakar and son, pri mi pri. So it was born one from the other. In other words, it's generational, right? The gidulei karka, it's on the ground, grows on the ground. All of them, bakar, son, yayin, dates, right, for wine are all grown on the ground. I've called pre mi pre the gidurei karka. Right? So now I think that's a good place to stop.